This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leading toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back.
Is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome everyone. I'm Michelle Barber and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT&I community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue or introduce a new way of thinking, but most importantly, to facilitate change toward greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. Thanks to Danielle Mason for a great afternoon's entertainment. The fabulous Informer team from Monday to Thursday, you'll hear them at 6:30 to 7. On Friday night, they go missing.
They're having a rest of tonight.
Okay. Thank you for that.
I am up to date, Michelle.
Up until today, it was Monday to Thursday.
Correct, so you're right about that.
And the lovely Beck for the news. Across the panel, we have the lovely Clayton. We have Stephanie and Beck and myself in the studio. The whole team's back together.
I know, the band.
The band's back together.
Hi, Michelle.
We did a farewell tour. We're back together. We call ourselves John Farnham.
We're very John Farnham. I'm going to see him on Saturday night.
You are mad.
What do you like? You're at the boss last week and now you're with...
On Saturday, I drove from the Book of Mormon to Hanging Rock to see Bruce Springsteen. Because I can't miss any... I saw Bruce twice in a week.
You saw him twice in a week.
Now I'm seeing John Farnham this week.
How old are you?
I know.
You're crazy. And you love Tay-Tay. I mean, that's both ends of the
musicals. I'm an enigma, Michelle.
You are an enigma. We have two other lovely voices in the studio. Hopefully they've laughed a little bit at our crazy antics. We have two of Joy's favourites. We have Anne Hamilton and Chris Furno are joining us tonight. Welcome to our Stand Up Straight studio.
Hi, gang.
Gang.
And hello from Chris.
And that voice, Chris, people would know your voice. Why?
So familiar.
From my show, Been There, Done That, Tuesday evenings, 2300 hours, and Monday mornings, 0 hours.
Ooh.
But Chris, previously, was on a was it Wednesday?
We've been all over the grid.
Yeah. No, I used to listen to you during the day, but I'm not up.
No, we
late
were
at
part
night.
Of the lunchtime lunchbox.
You were, and I used to love listening to you boys.
I've been on air for 17 years.
Wow. 17 years.
So, I've been around the block and around the grid.
Well, speaking of years, it's a huge milestone this month for our lovely Anne, who has been at Joy for 15 years. We should have had count applause, Clayton. As I say, out of my. 15 years as a Joy volunteer, Anne.
Yes, that's me.
This question is also for both of you, but you've been around Joy for a long time, seen a lot of changes. What is it that you love, if you can sum it up? What is it that you love about being at Joy?
Oh, as a volunteer, I see it as a family of people, all shapes and sizes. It's a family for me, and it's a place I can come to. I feel safe. People are volunteers. They're here because they want to be here.
You use the word safe. That's an unusual word to use. Can I ask why you say safe?
I'm giving away my generation, I guess. I'm 64 years old.
Wow.
So I've grown up through the years of homosexuality was illegal. It was, you wouldn't out yourself. Mm. So I remained in the closet for a very, very long time.
And we are going to talk about that briefly. Oh, we'll talk about that a little bit later because I find it fascinating and it kind of links into something that happened last week. And I'm going to go a bit off topic. Stephanie had her son sit in the studio with us last night. And we're going to ask both Anne and Chris a little bit about their coming out stories. But we had Chris Tate, our program director, in yesterday, last Thursday, and he mentioned that he didn't come out till he was late 20s. Now, Stephanie had her son in the studio.
My 16-year-old son.
Yeah, do you want to tell us why the coming out stories need to keep happening?
Yeah, well, he was just sitting in on the show because he's now doing our podcasting. And we had dinner after the show and we were talking about the show and he was really amazed that Chris had had to wait and, well, felt he had to wait until he was in his late 20s to come out. You know, Chris is a young man. And it really affected him and he, you know, he felt really saddened by that, that, so, you know, we talk often on Stand Up Straight about, you know, changing people's attitudes one story at a time. And it certainly had that effect on Patrick last week. And he was kind of really, yeah, really shaken by that story.
So. And the fact that he was 16 and couldn't understand why he had to wait.
Why he had to wait or why he felt so afraid of telling people, you know, who he was.
It's generational. And I can cover my coming out story a little bit later, but I have nieces and nephews that are very young and some that are not so young, and to them someone that's gay is not a thing. It is just not a thing. They have male friends, they have girlfriends, and some people have same-sex relationships, and it doesn't mean anything. So I can understand your son being why, because today that's not how the young people think. When you take religion and certain cultures out of the equation, an everyday person can't understand that story.
And that's why we'll keep getting people's coming out stories, you know, said on air, because I think, you know, a moment like that, and I know, Stephanie, you were very, very proud of that and touched, and I know it caused created a lot of discussion even for me at home as well. We wanted to get to know you a little bit. I wanted to know also what your roles are at Joy, just briefly, and then after we come back, we'll get to know you a little bit more. So what do you do here at Joy, Anne?
I've tried to explain this a few times. The best way is I do everything that other people don't want to do. So I do all the rats and mice stuff that nobody gets enthusiastic about except me. So it's the procedural things and mapping of processes and forms and database management, all that stuff that nobody likes. But I seem to enjoy it.
And vital.
It makes everything tick along.
And I know whenever you walk past the corridor, there's Anne sort of sitting very, very quietly in a cubicle, and this is a good moment for us to have you on air with us. And Chris, what do you do here at Joy other than us hearing your dulcet tones?
Well, I've got three or four little hats that I wear, although I keep losing them over the years because suddenly jobs or activities within the station become more important and they get handed over to more qualified people. And so in lots of ways, I'm like Anne. I do lots of the things that just seem to happen around the place because no one else has them on their job register as an official duty to do. And I'm mother to a few of the activities. A woman's work is never done. I'll wear that hat. But I present my show. I also do part of the membership processes. And I also look after the Joy Archives. And we're getting to get that all catalogued and it's a very involved process. And
fascinating, I would imagine. Oh, emotional too.
It's a new skill that I'm slowly learning. because you have to become basically a librarian type person and know there's proper procedures that are to be followed to get things put into an archive system, and the way it's registered and the way it's handled and treated, it's a very involved process, and I'm enjoying
and
learning
smiling
something
as
new.
You're saying that, though, so that's fantastic. We are joined in the studio with Anne and Chris, and we've decided that we're going to refer to them tonight as the no longer juniors. I think that terminology might be preferred. You are listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy.
Do you have a cat-shaped hole in your heart? Do you know that around 250,000 unwanted cats and dogs are euthanized in Australia every year? Ingrid's Haven is a not-for-profit cat shelter based in Broadford, 1 hour north of Melbourne CBD. Ingrid rescues cats from local pounds each week and cares for them until their forever family comes to save them. Rescue a furry feline today. Visit ingridshaven.net.au for more information or find them on Facebook. A community service message made possible by Joy 94.9.
Over 300 volunteers keep Joy 94.9 out, loud and proud, on air and online all the time. Joy volunteers have this week chosen Karen as Volunteer of the Week. Karen volunteers her time on the front desk at Joy. She's also part of our volunteer representatives group. She is a kind, positive, reliable and friendly face every Saturday morning. She's always out in the community with Joy, giving a little bit more. From everyone at Joy, thank you, Karen. To learn more about volunteering at Joy, head to joy.org.au/volunteers. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
This is Little Wise and you're listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
I'm not usually one for adventure.
Beautiful. Isn't she?
I know. They were amazing.
Do you have a bit of a girl crush?
Yeah.
That was a great show.
Stephanie and Beck are in the studio with me tonight. Clayton's across the desk. We have Chris and Anne, who are very, very long-term Joy stalwarts. But we've got them in here tonight to have a bit of a chat about what it was like back then, I suppose, whatever back then is, whether it's 10, 15, 30 years ago, whatever. So it's really interesting. We touched before about Stephanie's son listening to Chris Tate's coming out story and being surprised. I'd like to know, Anne, you mentioned that it was only 15 years ago, and that is extraordinary, and I'd like to, and then we'll chat to Chris in a minute, but why did you wait so long, if you can kind of summarise?
Can I summarise it?
Well, you don't even have to. You've got the floor.
I suppose I've got to go back a number of years. When I was very young, I had girl crushes, and all the girls had girl crushes, and I didn't grow out of it. So I wasn't interested in boys, and I couldn't work out why all the girls were infatuated with the boys, and I wasn't at all interested. Okay, I came to learn that a little bit later, and then I met someone, and we started a relationship. I think I was 21, 22, in a same-sex relationship. And we were together for 15 years. Gosh. Now, back then, I didn't know any other gay women except my partner, my girlfriend. I didn't know any other women that were a lesbian.
When you were together and you socialised, did you just socialise with
the straight world.
The straight world.
And was she your housemate, or how did you...
No, we didn't live together.
So
she lived with her mother and a brother, and I...
So it was very clandestine.
Lived in a flat. Yes, very much in the closet, secret.
So you wouldn't go out as a couple? You didn't go to events together as a couple?
We went out together, yeah.
But as friends?
Just as friends.
Right.
No holding hands or anything.
Gosh. How does that affect you, knowing that you walk past a straight couple holding hands, or they're kissing the street, and did you ever have those moments of, why can't that be me, or it's not fair, or not?
I don't think I thought it wasn't fair. It was just how it was, that it had to be secret because it was not accepted in the general population that you could have a same-sex relationship, because you would hear homophobic taunts and jokes. I worked in a very staid organisation, a bank, and I didn't know any gay people in the bank.
And Anne, were you able to make it a little bit fun with the secrecy? Could you ever bring that element into it? I mean, because you had the odds against you, were you ever able to kind of make it exciting and
well,
secret?
Yes, in our relationship, yes, we had a great deal of fun and great deal of excitement. And I worked the secret, and that's like a white lie, I guess. I worked the secret because at work, what do you do on the weekend? Da, 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 da. And I would say that the person I went out with was a guy and gave that person a name that wasn't the name of my girlfriend.
So you had to create a double life for yourself to present.
Well, it was just a false representation of the person that I was having fun with.
And did you and your girlfriend ever discuss the prospect of coming out, or it just wasn't even something that registers as an idea?
Yes, we did. We discussed moving in together, and we had a very serious conversation about that. And we felt at the time the only way that we could be together, living together, was to go overseas.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't want to go overseas because it was going to be an Asian country at the time, and I just didn't, with my work and my career was starting to take off at that time, and being a female in a bank, that was a big thing then. And I said, no, I don't think I can do that. And she said that, well, we can't do it here because I can't tell my mother.
Did any of your family know?
No.
Nobody. So it was just literally the two of you.
Yep.
So 15 years later, Anne, why did the relationship end?
Well, it probably it ended because I ended it. Well, the story is really long. She got married.
Wow.
To a man. And that was the end of the relationship, but it soon started again after she got married. And then a couple of years later, I said, no, this is doing my head in. I can't do this anymore. And she had an affair with another woman. That's it. Bye.
I think we seem a little bit flabbergasted. Am I right, ladies?
Yeah, wow.
It seems to be so far removed from, I hadn't even anticipated what you were going to say, and I think this is the beauty about people's coming out stories and highlights the differences that we refer to quite frequently as, you know, a straight privilege. And you've had to, for 15 years, have this relationship and not be able to function in the way you would always have wanted to. I find that. Do you look back on it? Do you think you would like to have done things any differently in a sense, or it just was the way it was supposed to be for those 15 years?
I guess we're always wiser in hindsight, and I couldn't have done it any differently because I didn't know any better. But I was being controlled, so you learn that as you go, and it could have been a man, it could have been a woman, but I was being controlled and I was being isolated from that control. So I probably could have met other people, but she wouldn't let me meet other people, if you know what I mean.
And then when it all fell apart, did you have anybody that you could talk to about it?
No.
Oh, my goodness. It's heartbreaking.
Job offer in Melbourne and I took it, so I...
Right, you changed.
Because this was in Sydney, so I moved down here and discovered joy quite by accident, and the rest is history.
Wow.
Ending. Thank goodness for the happy ending.
We got you.
We got you. We're going to go for a very quick break. But thank you, Anne. I'm a bit stunned, actually. I find it quite emotional. You are listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
We have Chris Verno and Anne Hamilton in the studio with us tonight, and Anne's just shared a pretty moving and emotional story that she had. If you would like to send a message in of any type, you can do so. We have had somebody send a message in, so thank you very much. I'm not sure who it's from. I went through the same thing in 2007 up until 2012 with my ex-girlfriend. We were closeted the whole time. She couldn't come out to her family. I had to end it. It's not that uncommon as you think, especially with ethnic minorities. And you're nodding, Anne. Yeah. What we actually didn't get to, and if anyone wants to send a message, you know, 0427JOY949, or you can send us an email on air@joy.org.au. What we didn't actually ask you is how the question started. We'll get to you, Chris. You can relax. So how did you come out, Anne?
Well, I found, as I said before, I found Joy by accident. New radio in the car, no stations, tuning in, da-da-da-da, great music. Who is this? And so I joined as a member and I became a volunteer, and I'm still closeted in my own head. I don't have a relationship at that time. And I was had been volunteering for 1 year, and my family knew I was volunteering at a community radio station, but I would never say which one it was.
And they're in New South Wales, so they're a long way, and they're not tuning in to Joy, are they?
Two of them are down here and one of them is in New South Wales, so, and they live far enough away that they wouldn't be able to hear on the Melbourne frequency. Mm. I was going overseas, and I went to see my GP to get the usual letters and do I need vaccinations, and I have a really great relationship with my GP. It's a woman, and she said to me about just conversation and what are you doing with, because I'd finished working with the bank full time, what are you doing now? And I said, oh, I'm volunteering at a community radio station. And she said, which one? And I felt totally safe. If I say who it is, she'll never know who it is. So I said, Joy Melbourne. And she said, oh, the gay one. And she looked at me. She said, are you gay? And I said, yes. She said, why didn't you tell me all those years ago? Because she's been my GP for a long time. Mm. And I couldn't tell her why. It was all part of this psyche of don't tell anyone. Mm. And she said to me, well, okay, when you go home tonight, you have to tell your two brothers and tell your sister and tell anyone else that's close in your family because you'll feel better.
And did you?
I did.
Wow.
With great anxiety, I went home and I thought, well, what am I going to do? And I rang them all because none of them live near me and told them and my niece and no reaction. Oh, okay. And we just talked.
What's for dinner? So,
and can I ask, how old were you when you came out?
50.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Wow.
14 years ago.
And thank goodness for your lovely GP.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. And are you a different person?
Oh, definitely.
Have you blossomed? Is that a word? Yeah.
More confident, more involved. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess that's why I said safe. In the introduction, because you can be who you are without anyone criticising you, a joke about you being gay or...
So, Anne, have you found a community here in Melbourne? You mentioned in Sydney that you would go out with straight people. Have you found a community, a lesbian community here in Melbourne?
Through Joy, I have. Okay. Yes, I've made some great friends.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Any love interests?
No.
ask? Are you open to love interests?
Of course.
If anyone's listening.
Once bitten, twice shy, they do say.
Anne's a beautiful and lovely lady. So SMS 0427-JOY949, # find Anne a date.
Shall I get Chris Furno to vet those? Or
always good to.
No, we will. Yeah, we'll do it for
I'm
you.
I'm all for finding romance, Anne.
We've had a love. Hugs to dear Anne from Gary in Brunswick.
Aww.
And we have had another message. Often say the person referred to before about having the relationship in the closet. She said, I'm now out. She is still in the closet. She is of Lebanese descent and my background is Armenian. And this is her words, being gay in the WOG environment is hell. So,
Good on you, girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's right.
So,
and thanks, Gary.
The same question for you. Is yours as exciting, Mr. Furno, your coming out story?
Well,
how are you going to top that?
A different path entirely. My parents came through World War II in South Australia and... the society that I was a young kid in was entirely heteronormative. Mm. And the only saving grace was my father's brother was a bachelor and still not married at 42. Mm. And when I was growing up, I had the occasional girlfriends and it would get to a certain stage and it wouldn't go any further. And... I was rather slow and dumb when at high school some of the girls were coming on to me and me and another school friend, we were riding our bikes home and called in the girls' place, and they started pashing us up. And what is this all about? You know, nothing in my body was reacting positively towards this. And maybe it was then that the penny started dropping, but, you know, perhaps it was, you know, just the way things happened.
How old were you then?
So, you know, that was a year or...
And you were...
High school, that was graduation year. high school, it was 17 years old. Yeah, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Called something different in South Australia when I was that age.
Yeah, but at the time when you were expecting hormones to be racing around, yeah. And, you know, yeah, exactly.
That's it. So anyway, I was still living at home by the age of 23, but I had hiking mates that I used to go out with. I had cars, an interest in cars, and I would pull them apart and get my hands greasy and all these sorts of things.
So you're blokey. You're kind of a blokey.
Blokey. Yeah. Oh, yeah, mate. But when I got into trouble, not when I was 23, but, you know, maybe 16, 17 or 18, one day my dad called me, "You bloody poofter."
Oh.
And I thought, ooh. Now, that was a real kick in the ribs. Mm. And I thought, ooh. Mm. Okay, so I pulled my head in a little bit and, you know, within the family group, we accepted each other as we were. My sister had hearing problems. You know, the auntie around the corner, she was, you know, she was a bit gaga or whatever. and, you know, we all had our quirks.
Had stuff, yeah.
And this was one of my quirks. How's your girlfriends? Oh, I went out with Yvonne last week, but no. Oh, you must be like your uncle. Yeah, I'm a born bachelor sort of thing, you know. Blah. Mm. And it came a time when I was 23 when a job opportunity came, like Anne. It was an opportunity to leave that environment. Mm. And I went into I went overseas for 5 years to Papua New Guinea and worked up there. And I was on my own to a great extent, working in a safe environment. It wasn't living out in the back blocks with just native people to talk to and interact with. I was on an army base, and so I had all that sort of environment. But I gradually got comfortable with who I was. And before I'd left Adelaide, I had a group of guys, and we would go out to the gay pubs on Saturday night. We would have gay parties, we'd have jokes. So I sort of knew that I was in that environment. But then I still had to balance that up with how I was with my family. Mm-hmm. And that was the schizophrenia kicked in sort of thing. It was I don't think I got brain strain or anything from it, but it was the two identities. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm within the family environment. This is the way I've got to behave. Outside, scream your head off.
Mm.
It was a total release. But anyway, after New Guinea, I'd been living on my own and I wasn't going back to the family. I moved from Adelaide to Melbourne, and that's when I started hooking up with people around in Melbourne. And, okay, I had a job here as well. And strangely enough, one of the people I met at the coffee in the coffee room, in the lunchroom, was a guy who was the secretary of Joy way back in those days, in the early 90s. Mm. And he said, "Oh, look, you know, come and volunteer down at the radio station." And then I finished my job and I said before I left, "Nigel, would you still like to see me?" "Yep, sure thing." So I came down and did half a day, 1.5 days. And so, you know, part of the furniture now, like Anne. There was so many of the small jobs and everything and organisational aspects to be done. And I had a public service background, so I knew processes and procedures were orders of the day sort of thing. And, yeah, found a little niche and here I is.
So, Chris, was there a moment when you came back from Melbourne to Adelaide that you actually sat down with your family and announced that you were gay, or did they just guess it?
Well, it was strange in as much as at home, before I left Adelaide, I went out into a flat on my own, with another gay guy for a few months. But then we would always go back to Mum's place Thursday night for roast dinner and cards. And I said, oh, this particular time, can John come? Oh, yeah. So I brought John. John and my parents found things of connection to them. I left a note, go to New Guinea. John still went home for roast dinners.
Oh, funny.
And, gorgeous. You know, they accepted him and me in those sort of situations. But if I'd said to them, you know, this is what we do between the sheets, it would have been out the door and off the property.
Yeah, need to know basis, so with parents,
yeah,
I think.
But that was, again, the social environment that I grew up in, that everything was illegal. It was, you knew about it, but you didn't talk about it, so, and you didn't point fingers particularly.
Knowing that it was illegal, I'm just wondering how that messes with your psyche, that you wake up in the morning, whether you think about it or not, you as a person, a part of your life is illegal. I'm just wondering how that messes with your head, if it did, if you thought about it consciously.
Well, you're only illegal once you get caught.
So you're careful, yeah.
Can I just add a bit to that? That situation, that non-acceptance, made me feel like I didn't belong anywhere, I didn't fit, something was wrong with me. That I felt there was something wrong with me.
Yeah. And I wonder, does it, you know, and again, we might chat about this a little bit when we come back, but whether that's how long that stays with you, or does it just stay with you forever and it's more and more weeded out?
We come out every day or every second day, depending on the situation. Mm. You're not, it's, you know, are you married? What's your husband's name? Or, you're coming out to another doctor, a specialist doctor, or the people down the coffee shop, or the grocer, because of the questions that they ask. Mm. Well-meaning, but...
And you're correct. It is well-meaning, but it's that fact that you have to all the time. We're going to come back and chat a little further with Chris and Anne. You are listening to Stand Up Straight with Michelle, Stephanie, Beck, and we have the lovely Anne and Chris as our guests this evening. We're getting to know them and a little bit about what it was like to perhaps come out a lot longer than many of members of the GLBTI community, and how different it was. And there seems to be this sort of a theme of fear and having to lead double lives to an extent, that kind of thing, which... So it's sad to hear.
And Chris, just following up on your story, you mentioned your bachelor uncle at the very beginning of the story. And I'm just wondering, did your bachelor uncle ever come out, or did you ever bump into him in clubs? Was he gay? Was he just a bachelor uncle?
No, fortunately he was a bachelor uncle and he did marry and he's had kids.
Oh, there you go.
There is hope for me.
Yes. Because I love, you know, when you, I've got a gay friend and he, you know, he talks about his family tree and, you know, when you go back and you, there's all these bachelor uncles, so, you know.
No, I've got the original T-shirt. The family tree ends here.
That's great. We've had another couple of messages in. We did mention briefly before about we are on the search for a partner for Anne. Mm. So we've created our own hashtag. Is that what we say?
Yes.
Beck, yes. Family matters are on the case to find hashtag find Anne a date. We love you, Anne.
Yes.
And Betty, our lovely Joy photographer. And you are a treasure.
Yeah.
Hugs from Betty.
Lovely.
Now, Chris, do you need any help in the romance stakes?
No, thank you. I've given all that up.
Okay, but let me know.
No, he hasn't. He has gentlemen callers.
Hashtag no need to find Chris a date by Chris, the sound of it.
With a voice like that, Chris, I'm not surprised that you have lots of gentlemen
admirers. As I tell a lot of my friends, straight and gay, there are, in your life, you find out after a few years that there are three categories of friends: 5-minute friends, 3-month friends, and friends for life. Mm. Now, I've got 5 friends for life. I don't need Facebook. These are the most important 5 people in my lives now that my parents and siblings have gone. So they're the ones, they hear parts of my secret life.
Ooh.
Now, they don't all hear the same story, so, you know, it's looking at the elephant from different views.
We need to have a Stand Up Straight After Dark special, I think.
Oh, yes. We'll work on that one. Mm.
But I do have a wide selection of friends of the other varieties, and That's where I think in the gay community, without actually having the worry of family and siblings and grandkids or nephews and nieces, one can be a bit selfish. It's not really being self-centred, but you're not able to integrate with comfort the way the straight community mixes and matches. We pre-sort.
It's
colours and whites in the same wash. We have to actually sort out what we do with whom.
Sensible advice.
Do you ever wonder or think, gee, I wish I was born 20 or 30 years later, and, you know, with the electronic media or the...
No,
you know,
like Anne said, we you learn to live. If you're walking down the... If you come out of the house and it's winter, you learn to put a coat on. In summer, if it rains, you learn to dance in the rain. As, you know, seasons, whatever the conditions are, you live, you just cope with them. And we coped with the life as it was.
Do you think the younger GLBTI community have it too easy?
No. But they've got lots more tools to perhaps find the right group of people that they want to be with, that they're comfortable with, safe with. I don't know whether it's just a hookup tool or, as Grindr is for guys, can be, because we guys, we're animals, you know.
So are some ladies, Chris.
No. Well, I can't speak for you, but a 5-minute friend for me will do me. Thank you very much. That's okay.
That's 5 minutes. Yeah, pretty easily impressed, Chris.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There is no strings attached. There's no suitcases. I'm no moving in the next day. But I've seen lesbians. They do that on the first or second date. And I think, oh.
That's a bit judgy, McJudgy
they
pants.
They don't all do that.
No.
So I'm going to go take a little bit more of a serious kind of tone.
Trust me to get it off track to something naughty. No.
That's what we love about you, Bec. Don't you go changing, honey.
Sure.
there are all types of variety of retirement living, older living environments. Chris is shaking his head. My reason for asking is that would you rather be in a place that was GLBTI friendly or where it was GLBTI residents? Or would you rather be in an environment that is not? Or would you rather be, or I suppose what I'm getting at, it doesn't seem to be as much variety or options or choice for the older generation for spaces that would be supportive or inclusive. So I just don't know whether you have any opinion or whether you have a wish.
Think Chris and I would probably have different views on this. Obviously, I'd prefer to live in my own home, but I know I'm going to get older, you know, all being well, I'm going to live longer. And if I need to go into retirement or age care particularly, I would want a mixture of people. I don't think I'd just like to go into a gay and lesbian, you know, community type. I'd like to be in a cross-section of people so that you've got views across different sexes, different religions, different cultures. Because I like to learn. I like to learn every day. And
so if you've got people that are old school, narrow-minded, that kind of thing. So I wonder whether that would influence whether you went into these spaces. Because in 20, 30 years' time, it is going to be different. Chris has got a hand.
I'm a baby boomer, so the mindset in that group is different to the generation that is in the aged care now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's breaking down, breaking down the barriers, one of our mantras. That's happened with that baby boomer generation.
And
but there's one thing, the state government here has actually been pushed into the corner and gratefully gone there and provided a process whereby retirement homes and villages can actually get a tick of engagement, the rainbow tick, as they call it, that their staff and professionals are all trained to be aware and respectful and be, you know, delicate about certain matters. You don't, if the answer is going to come out this way, okay, go with it. They don't have the opportunity to be judgmental. And I, like Anne, will probably end up in one of those places, but hopefully, because the supportive generation that's out there in these houses have got the education now to actually smooth the waters for us. It's a safe, it becomes a safe environment as well. But I hope to live in my own house all my days. That's my safe zone. People know where I am.
So, Chris, what sort of services and facilities and even on a social level are there for the older GLBTI community?
I don't know.
You're having too much fun, actually.
No, I'm having too much fun being myself.
I hear sometimes advertised, what is it, for older gentlemen, nobody loves a fairy when they're 40, you know, that's that one. Vintage men.
I could never align myself with that.
Okay.
My brain is still, you know, as I was when I was 23, I think.
Right.
I haven't gotten older. I don't
Long
know who
that
bloke
last.
Is in the mirror when I shave of the morning, but it's, you know.
We are going to take a quick break and come back and wrap up. We have Anne and Chris in the studio with us. You're listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy.
Hi, this is Adelaide, and you're listening to my mum, Stephanie, and Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Say you'll remember me.
Thank you for joining us tonight on Stand Up Straight. We have had a great hour here with Chris and Anne in the studio talking about being GLBTI.
No longer
juniors. That's how we coined it, wasn't it? And we are going to end on a very positive note, because I know just during that break we were having a bit of a chat about the way forward, and I know that Anne's got a few comments, as does Chris, so I'm just going to hand over to them so that they can,
words of wise words, do we say?
Exactly, yeah. Right.
I guess stargazing, thinking out aloud, that if all of us, collectively, the whole population, that we just get along and trust and respect, and I think everywhere would be a better place. That's what I feel.
Chris?
Indeed. I think social environment has improved and just been so accepting of late, and it's a generational change, and it's like decimal currency. When that came in, people said, oh, why can't you wait till all the old people die? It's too confusing. You know, the current generation are absolute troopers, and they are so lucky, and they are so wonderful in educating their parents and other people as well, and being tolerant and accepting.
And just quickly, we mentioned before that maybe the younger generation have it easier. I don't know if they have it easier because they still have a challenge, the young GLBTI, because there is still homophobia, there is still bashing and suicide. So we need to support everybody equally. What's different today is there's some role models out there for those young GLBTI people.
That's
some
great role models. And
there?
You too?
And you both are our role models. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us, Chris and Anne, in the studio, and for the phenomenal job and work that you do here at Joy. Thank you very much.
And don't forget, everybody, you've got one last day to donate to Joy to win that amazing, amazing prize. Having been to Mardi Gras a number of times, I just can't tell you how fabulous it is. So please donate. And
by 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Yes, exactly right.
Up next is Family Matters.
Great show.
Fabulous show. And then immediately after that is The Bears with the Woods. So you would not want to be anywhere else except Joy tonight and every other night. Who's on next week?
Next week we have my auntie and uncle from San Francisco. Woohoo! So please join us then.
Be sure to wear a flower in your hair.
You've been listening to the crazy kids of Stand Up Straight on Joy. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
It's a free free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.